Thank you very much. It's really a privilege for us to participate with you this morning in this program. We're going to have a good time around the gift of music. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the whole idea of blessings, the blessings of life. It doesn't take us long to think about the good things that have come into our lives. It just takes a second. We think of our families, we think of friends, we think of opportunities, we think of all kinds of things. One of the blessings that Dr. Clevenger and I enjoy together is this great gift of music. I just can't get over the fact, every day I get a chance to participate in something that God gave mankind as a way of communication. You know, there's something, have you ever listened to a song and all of a sudden there's goosebumps, there's things happening? Sometimes patriotic songs do that to us. They remind us of memories or remind us of things that are really important to us. Sometimes a song will be played or sung and we'll remember the words, and those memories will cause us to just have this great feeling of thanksgiving and blessing. And God has given us that gift to communicate not only to Him, but to each other. Sometimes music has a way of communicating far beyond words. We can communicate emotions, excitement, sadness, euphoria. We can communicate all kinds of things through the gift of music. And so we want to share our gift with you this morning. And we hope that your gift is coming from God as you listen to the sounds. You know, Roger was telling stories about choir and music and all of that sort of thing. And I was sitting there, I was reminded of one of my early pastors. His name was Dr. Hugh T. Hall. I loved him. He was a great, great man of God. And he told me the story of when he was first a young pastor and he wanted to impress his congregation, but also minister to them in a special way. He wasn't a musician, but he decided to go to the local band director and said, "Teach me something that I could play, an instrument that I could play for my congregation." So he started taking trombone lessons with the band director. And he gave him a trombone, and Dr. Hall couldn't quite get, this is a true story, by the way, not like the ones he just told you. And he couldn't quite get the idea of the positions. Where are all the notes? How can I make a melody of this? So the band director said, "You're getting a pretty good sound, so I will write all of the positions on the music." He was going to play Blessed Assurance. And so third, fourth, fifth, first, dum da da da. He wrote all of the positions in. So it came that night to play on a Sunday night service, and one of his deacons heard about this method that he was learning and went to the music and erased all the numbers and changed them. And so he stood up to play Blessed Assurance, and it sounded a little like e-aw, e-aw, aw, e-aw. And he never played the trombone ever again. And he thought maybe his gift would be in preaching rather than in music. So we'd like to continue playing some music that doesn't necessarily have doesn't have a sacred text at all. It comes from an opera written by the Italian composer Vincenzo Bellini. Bellini, I like that. Any Italians in the audience? No? Italians? Yeah, all right. Anyway, yeah, you got to go like this. This is from the opera Norma. It's a beautiful, beautiful melody. But it's done in a theme and variations where we'll start with a simple melody and it'll gradually get a little bit more complicated and hopefully we'll get all the notes at the end.
The gift of the trumpet player playing 10 million notes.
Yeah, this is a few notes in this one. This is variations on a theme from the opera Norma.
Thank you.
was fun. You know, yeah, that was fun. That came from, the arrangement was done by a composer by the name of J.L. Arban. Has anybody ever played trumpet in here? Way back in high school or anything? Come on. Oh, come on. There's one in the... Oh, there you... Hey, Jane. Yes. Well, the Arban Method is a famous book. We call it the Bible of the trumpet players. We obviously don't put it in place of the Bible, but it is full of all kinds of exercises, and it talks about all of the elements of music. And you know there are three basic elements to all the notes that we just did. And one of the elements is melody, one of the elements is harmony, the other one is rhythm. And all of that comes together. It's kind of like the model of creation. You know, we have the sun, we have rain, we have wind, we have all of those things, those elements that come together and form creation itself. And God had a great idea with all of those things. Well, He had a great idea with music as well. And the idea of melodies is the idea of putting together a few notes in a recognizable, repeatable kind of thing. And it can be as easy as using scales. You know what a scale is? Now that doesn't really sound like much of a melody unless you add a little bit. Yeah, all right. That's simply an F scale. That's all it is. A downward scale, but by adding a little rhythm and adding some great words, it becomes joy to the world, the Lord has come. Yeah, and melody can be as simple as that and can be as complicated as some of the things we just played. So, we're going to play another melody for you. Again, a gift of God has come to us through the idea of music. And I think music is at its best when it conveys those great messages of life. God in His grace showing us mercy. God in His mercy showing us the way to salvation. And so a great song to put together thoughts and music is the great song originally done by John Newton, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Many of you know that I do several things outside of the confines of our church here. I'm involved in music, and that is another blessing, to be able to not only play, but to teach young people. It's really a great, great blessing to have them come in and go out a little bit better than when they came in, or a little bit more encouraged when they came in. For 30-plus years, I've been at Cedarville doing that, and many of those years have been with this gentleman to my right. He's a fine colleague. As you've already heard, an excellent pianist, has a solo ministry, has been here before, actually, done this particular ministry, does lots of concerts all over the United States, and is just a fine, fine colleague. I've asked him to play a number for you at this time. This is Dr. Charles Clevenger.
I'll just speak up because I didn't rate a microphone. you got easy. You got a microphone. You want it to play one note at
that's
a time.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, no, you have a mic.
We get paid by the note.
Yes.
Okay, good. Besides God's grace, one of the great gifts God gives us is the gift of the ability to believe, the gift of faith. And I thought I'd play something that many of you would know, all right? If you know an old gospel song called Faith is the Victory, can you raise your hand? Okay, how long has it been since you've heard it? Dogs years ago, probably. Okay. Ira Sankey wrote this tune, and Ira was forever getting in trouble with Baptist churches for writing music that had just a little more hitch in its get-along than folks were comfortable with. If you thought that was a new issue, it is not. Okay, this song is over 100 years old, and yet in its day, it was fighting music. People would choose up sides. Baptist churches would choose up sides and decide whether they would fellowship with one another based on whether one of them would do Sankey's music or would abstain from doing it, because sometimes it was considered dangerous. But it is, whether you agreed with it or not, you had to agree that it was exuberant. So this piece will get up and move a little bit, but it celebrates in Sankey's exuberant way the exuberance a Christian ought to have, I think, over the fact that our faith, not only just our personal faith in God, but the faith once delivered to the saints, that great gift of God to us, you know, the message that Jesus came and died and was buried and rose again and has set us free from the bondage of sin. That message is the victory over sin and death and the world. So I like to play this, and some places where I go, it's just a little too much for them, you know. Here it's old, right? So we can do it. Let's do it. Faith is a bit. Thank you.
I think that was dancing music to me.
Yeah.
All right. During Ira Sankey's time, a contemporary, I think, of Sankey in the secular world would have been the Gershwin family, Ira and George Gershwin. And it's not sacred, but I love this melody, and it really shows the gifting that God gives to people, even sometimes when they don't give it back to Him. You know, I play in the Dayton Philharmonic and sometimes with the Cincinnati Symphony, and I can tell you the truth that quite often I'll sit in orchestra rehearsal or concert, we're playing a Beethoven symphony, and it's just glorious music. And I'm sitting there, and I'm worshiping the Lord. As I look in my history books, I don't find a place where necessarily he gave back that gift to God. Beethoven himself didn't give it back to him, but those of us who listen to his music know the author of that great gift. We know that God gave Beethoven the ability that he had, even though he didn't necessarily give it back to him as an offering of praise or an offering of thanksgiving. It came from God, and so I can worship God through that. There was an interesting time when a friend of mine in the Cincinnati Symphony, they were doing what was called run-out concerts, and they were doing a concert up in Troy, Ohio, at the Troy High School Auditorium. And he said, "Charlie, why don't you bring your wife up and come and hear the concert?" And I said, "Great." He said, "I'll leave tickets at the box office." And so we got tickets, and we went down. And just before the concert, two African-American ladies came in and sat down right from in front of us. And we talked a little bit, and we got the idea that they were church-going folk. We knew that. And so the symphony started, and it started kind of slow, like Beethoven sometimes does. And we're sitting there enjoying the music, and we heard in front of us one of the ladies go, "Mm-hmm, mm-hmm." The music would rise a little bit, "Mm-hmm, mm-hmm." And the music would start to get a little faster, and all of a sudden, "Mm-hmm, hallelujah, hallelujah." The music rose, and out loud, "Amen! Play it, sisters!" And right in the classical audience, there was a bit of exuberance for Beethoven's music, and they were going to church at that particular time. This is not a church-going song, but you've heard it before. George Gershwin wrote some of the greatest melodies known to man, and this one is one of my favorites, "Someone to Watch Over Me." Thank you. Isn't that a beautiful melody? I think as a Christian we could really put some great words to that. But someone to watch over me actually works just fine. And I don't know if you noticed the different instruments I've been playing today. This one got a little bigger. I started off with an instrument that I play all the time in the orchestra. It is a C trumpet, pitched obviously in the concert pitch of C. It is a great projecting instrument. We use it in the orchestra. A lot of times when we do big pieces, we just did a very large piece with the symphony where we had 100 musicians and only 3 of us were trumpets, but we did our job. And we did our job just fine. Three of these can just bring a whole bunch of strings to their knees. There's no problem with that at all. And we do it with a smile behind the mouthpiece. But it's a great projecting instrument, and that's the instrument of choice by almost all classical orchestral musicians. The instrument that we start out on looks very similar, but it's a little longer right here. And it's simply the same instrument, but it's pitched in one pitch, one key lower. It's the B-flat trumpet. And that's, if you played trumpet in high school or junior high, you would have played the B-flat trumpet. And that's what we play in band a lot. It has just a little bit of a different sound. We also play it on jazz pieces as well. And then the last instrument that I played was an instrument called the flugelhorn. And it's really an instrument we play a lot of times in jazz. Wow. My microphone. Yeah, it's on my microphone. I kind of like that. But it's kind of a jazz instrument, but it was used a lot in the German and French armies. It had a bigger bell, and the way it got its name, Flügel means wing in German. And it was always the instrument that was on the outside of the marching band. And it's simply called the wing horn, the flugelhorn. And that's its name to this day. We were told we needed to be done just before noon. And we have a piece of music that should fit just about in that time. And we'll see what happens at the end. We may do one more. For most of my life as a professional trumpet player, I've been influenced by other trumpet players. And I'll never forget the time that I had the opportunity to hear the great trumpet player from France, Maurice André, who came on a rare tour to America. And he was playing in a large auditorium in Toledo, Ohio, and I went up and I heard him play. It was just him and organ, and he was just such a master at playing the instrument. I sat there and really worshipped God because of his ability. And it was a great, great time. Well, a few years after that, a French composer by the name of Claude Bolling put together a piece for jazz piano and trumpet, and he called it Tout Suite. And there are several movements of this. We're going to play the jazz waltz to this. It's simply called Allegre, and we hope that you enjoy this. And this will probably be it. Thanks again for having us, and may the Lord bless you. This is the first movement from the Tout Suite by Claude Bolling.